This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God your best shout today. Amen. Amen. Open your Bible with me, if you would, please, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We begin this week in a brand new series on living in the goodness of God. I'm more excited about this series than any other series I've ever done in my life. Now, you say, Pastor, you're just pumping us up. No, I really mean it. I wouldn't share something with you that hasn't ministered to me. I wouldn't give you something that hasn't blessed me and helped me and empowered me. And so I'm excited more than ever before about living in the goodness of God. Today, I'm going to show you from God's Word how to overcome worry. I'm going to show you how to overcome. Now, a good speaker tells you up front what they're going to do, then they tell you what they said, then they're going to remind you at the end. So, you know, I want you to understand today you're going to leave here worry-free. You're going to leave here today worry-free. Worry is unnatural for a child of God. Worry is unnatural for a child of God. Worry is not God's will for your life. Worry is unnatural, it's unhealthy, it's unreasonable, and it's non-productive. Worry cannot change your past. Stop worrying about your past. You can't unscramble scrambled eggs. John Osteen. You can't change your past through worry, nor can you control your future through worry. You can't change your past by worrying over it, nor can you control your future by worrying over it. What worry does is it cancels out today in your life. It robs you of the potential that God has for you and me today. So today, I'm going to show you how to conquer worry. You conquer worry not by resisting it. You cannot conquer worry. It's not enough to say, you spirit of worry, and it is, by the way. Worry is the parent of depression, unbelief. Worry is not from God. It's a spirit from the devil. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you and I can't overcome it by just simply taking authority and say, I rebuke you, worry. I resist you, worry. No, you can't do it that way. It's not through resisting. It's through refocusing. It's not through resisting. It's through refocusing. When you change your focus from worrying to focusing on the goodness of God, you can conquer worry. When you refocus and reframe and you change your focus from worry to focusing on the goodness of God, you will conquer worry in your life. Sound good? Are y'all in? Okay, here we go. Psalm 27, verse 13. What would have become of me had I not believed? I'm looking at believers today, right? Because, you know, folks, I just want to exhort you right now. I want to admonish you right now. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what it looks like, no matter what they're saying, no matter how long it's taking, never, never, never stop believing God. No matter how long it's taking, no matter the adversity you're in, no matter what your circumstances are screaming at you, no matter what people are telling you, no matter what your body may be saying to you today, never, never, never stop believing God. Because when you and I stop believing God, another word is we stop having faith, we stop expecting, watch this now, God no longer has anything to work with to change your life. When you and I give up and we withdraw our confidence, expectation, our believing, our trusting, our faith in God, God then has nothing to work with. Folks, God doesn't work with our need. God works with our faith. God doesn't work with my emotions. In other words, you know, just crying and screaming and yelling and feeling sorry for myself and self-pity doesn't move God. That doesn't give God anything to work with to change my life for the better. God needs a currency called faith. Without faith, it's impossible. Isn't it, church? Without faith, isn't that what the scripture says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to withdraw your confidence. The devil wants you to draw back. The devil wants you to waver, worry, doubt, and live in unbelief. Because when you do, you're not giving God anything he can work with to do miracles in your life. So never, never, never stop believing. Amen, church. All right, so what would have happened if I had not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Oh, we're talking about living, not visiting. I don't want you just to experience God's goodness once a month, once a week, every other day. I want you, Church on the Rock, because I love you so much, I want you to live there. I want you to abide there. I want that to be your address. The goodness of the Lord lives here. Amen? Now, let me define for you the word goodness. And this should really charge your faith today. If you have a strong concordance of Hebrew and Greek definitions of the words in the Bible, Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, you can get it online if you have a smartphone for real cheap. I have Strong's Concordance on my smartphone. Or you can pick one up on the way out. I think we carry them in our bookstore. But you check it out to make sure I'm not fabricating this, okay? But I looked it up, Strong's Concordance, the word goodness of the Lord. And here's what it means. It's right there, God's best. Isn't that remarkable? Doesn't that reframe your thinking from barely getting by to believing for God's best in your life? He said that he wants us to live in the goodness of the Lord. And the word goodness means this, God's best. Then it had a comma. It said God's abundance. Now, folks, this is the Bible I'm teaching today. God's best, God's abundance. Then it says his loving kindness. This is all in Strong's Dictionary. I'm not fabricating. You go check it out. Make sure I'm teaching correctly. It means God's best. Now, you will get tested on this in just a moment, okay? God's best, God's abundance, God's loving kindness. And then it had the word God's favor. How many of you want to live in the favor of God? I'm telling you, family, when God's favor is on your life, you feel it. When God's favor is on your life, you can feel it. And God's favor will open those doors Pastor Kim talked about at prayer time. God's favor will open doors you can't open on your own. Amen. So living in the goodness of the Lord, what's that all about, Pastor? Well, it's all about finding out how to tap into, how to move into, how to live there, how to live in God's best, the abundant life, experience his loving kindness, walk in the favor of God, and then it had another word. Now again, you check it out. You make sure I'm not just in a fad or a formula or fabricating this. It said prosperity. And prosperity there, it didn't mean just financially. It means wholeness, soundness, nothing missing. It means prosperity for your spirit man, your soul, and your body, the complete person. So living in the goodness of the Lord, what is that? Living in God's best, living the abundant life. experiencing his loving kindness, walking in the fog, favor of God, the acrostic, fog, favor of God. Walking in God's favor and experiencing God's prosperity. That's God's will for you, not to worry. So you know how you conquer worry? You don't do it by resisting worry. You do it by refocusing. You get your eyes off of what you're worrying about, and you get your eyes on the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of the Lord at your address, in your house, in every room of your house, in your car, in your truck, where you work and go to school. Living in the goodness of the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? Can y'all give the Lord a good praise here right now? Come on, let's thank him. If we believe it, it should excite you. A test that you believe what you're hearing is that you get excited about it. Now, you don't have to, on the outside, run the aisles, hoop and holler, do a chicken walk. But, you know, your spirit just gets, it leaps on the inside. You know what I'm saying? On the inside, you just can't stay the same because you've just been stretched. And for your faith to grow, it has to be stretched. Amen. Now, so he says here that it's God's will for you and I to live in the goodness of the Lord. We know what that means, right? Now you tell me, the definition of God's goodness is what? Number one? You got it. That's the goodness of the Lord. Now, where do you start to get there? Pastor, I'm on the other end of the pole. I'm on the other end of the rope, on the metrics. I'm way over. How do I start, Pastor? I'm going to give you three things. Number one, through your confession. Through your confession. You have to begin there because everything God does in your life starts with your words. Starts with your words. It starts with your words. You and I couldn't even get saved without our words. You got to believe in your heart, and you got to confess with your mouth. So here's what I want you to do. Now, Dr. Blunt, and you know what? I do have an honorary doctorate from Lindenwood University. So Dr. Blunt, okay, he's giving you a prescription. Every day of this month, I want you to begin to confess throughout the day, when you think about it, I'm living in the goodness of the Lord. I'm experiencing God's best. I'm experiencing abundant life. God, your loving kindness and favor and prosperity are pursuing me all the days of my life. Now, family, if you really are serious, and I believe you are, if you really want this, and I believe you do, it's going to start with your confession. Going to have a witness in the house. It's going to start with your confession. Now, let me also add, it can't be occasional. What you do occasional only produces a temporary result. You know, yesterday, you know, my son Daniel is my personal trainer, and he's certified personal trainer. And he said, Dad, today our workout is the rowing machine. I just said, oh, praise the Lord. I'm excited about the rowing machine. He said, Dad, now you got to row 2,000 meters. And you row 2,000 meters. I think it's, what, 1,800 meters for a mile? Don't quote me. But he said, you row 2,000 meters. And then he said, Dad, you take a 10-minute break. I said, okay, cool. Then he said, Dad, you get back on it again. And you do 2,000 meters again. I go, okay, I'm real excited about that, Daniel. And then he said, Dad, after you do that, take a 10-minute break. And then he said, Dad, you get on it again. Now you're 6,000 meters. And then he said, Dad, after 6,000 meters, you get off it again. You wait 10 minutes. And then, Dad, another 2,000 meters. A total of 8,000 meters on the rowing machine. And you know what I said? I said, Daniel, that's going to be hard. He said, Dad, don't you say hard. He said, Dad, I don't want to hear hard come out. Well, he's hard on me. He said, I don't want to hear hard come out of your mouth. I want you to say it's easy, Dad. Dad, you say it's easy. Don't you say it's hard. I don't want to hear it anymore. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. What was he telling me? Now, what would have happened? I did it. Thank you, Jesus. He helped me. But what would happen if I didn't do it again until January 1st after the holidays? Guess what? It didn't do me any good yesterday. What you do occasionally here once in a while, oh, I'm going to confess it once this week, Pastor, it's not enough. Pastor, you know, I'll think about it a couple times. This won't change you, won't help you. Because what you and I do occasionally always brings temporary results. It's what we do consistently. It's what we do consistently that brings, you know, lasting results. So, Dr. Blunt, that is credible. I do have my doctorate from Lindenwood. Dr. Blunt is telling you that you got to do this every day for this whole month. Can I have a witness in the house? Nobody's going to say, that's going to be hard, right, Pastor? Amen. So it starts with your confession. It starts with your confession. Psalm 34, verse 8. And you, many of you are familiar with this. And I know you love it. I love this verse. I grew up in this verse. I heard this, was taught this in Sunday school. But Psalm 34, 8. Y'all remember that? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, let's look at it. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste. Everyone say taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is a good God. Blessed. Wow. So how do you overcome worry? You can't do it by resisting it. You do it by refocusing. You get your eyes off your worry and you get your eyes on the goodness of the Lord and you'll be blessed. You'll be happy. Well, where does that start? With your confession. Father, I'm living, my family's living in the goodness of the Lord. God, we're going to have your best. We're going to walk an abundant life, your loving kindness, your favor, and total prosperity for me and my house. Thank you, Father. It starts with a confession. So he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. If you do, blessed you will be, happy you will be, is the man or the woman who trusts, takes refuge in the Lord. Everybody say, taste the goodness of the Lord.
Taste the goodness of the Lord.
Okay, now how do you do that, Pastor? How do you do that? I've heard that. How do you taste? I mean, God is a spirit. You can't see him. You can see the results of him. But Pastor, how do you taste the goodness of the Lord? Now, it's important that you and I know how to taste the goodness of the Lord. You know, someone had been telling me about the Bahama down the road has the snow cones down the road, and they've been telling me, oh, they're so good. Pastor, you got to go by and get one. We've tasted them, and boy, we like the Jamaican punch, and we like the sour apple and the cherry, and we like all. You just got to taste it, Pastor. Now, what were they telling me? They were telling me, until I taste it, I'll never experience it for myself. Right? So in tasting, not just hearing about the goodness of the Lord, but God wants you to experience the goodness of the Lord. God wants you to taste the goodness of the Lord. God wants you to live in the goodness of the Lord. God wants you to experience his favor every day, his loving kindness every day, his best and his abundance. Not just hear about other people's testimony, but God wants you to taste his goodness for yourself. So on the way home last night after church, I went through there, got a Jamaican punch snow cone. Guess what? They were right. I tasted and I experienced it. It was awesome. Amen. So how do you taste the goodness of the Lord? Here's my second point on how to live in the goodness of the Lord. Now, I read the Bible through several times, and I never saw this verse before until yesterday afternoon. I've never taught this verse in 34 years at Church on the Rock. I've never expounded on it. I've read it, but it never came alive. And boy, yesterday afternoon, thank you, Holy Spirit. Job. Go with me to Job. Would you? Job chapter 34. Job 34 and look at verse 3. Job 34 and verse 3. It's going to tell you how to taste the goodness of the Lord. Are you all ready for Revelation, church? Okay. Notice what it says. For the ear trieth or tasteth words, as the mouth tasteth meat. I want you to see here that there's opposites here. The first part is spiritual, and the latter part is natural. And what he's saying is, just like how you taste food in the natural, you do it with your mouth. Likewise, you taste spiritual things. You taste spiritual things with your ear. You taste natural things. Today you're going to have lunch and you're going to taste that good food. How? With your mouth. Well, likewise, in the spiritual realm, he says you test, you try, you partake, you taste of spiritual things with your ear. So how are you going to plug into God's best, God's abundance, God's favor, God's loving kindness, and total prosperity? You're going to do it through your hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever you've been hearing this week is determining if you're experiencing the goodness of the Lord or you're experiencing stress through worry. We need to examine, what are we hearing? You know the areas of your life that you need to change your focus by the areas of your life you're worrying over. If you're worrying over your marriage or your kids or your grandkids or your health or your retirement or the house payment, the car payment, if you're worried about your future, then that tells me that those areas of your life that you're worrying in, you're definitely not hearing what God's word has to say about the goodness of the Lord. Just like you taste in the natural food with your mouth, you taste of the heavenly and the spiritual things God has for us through your ear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how much you hear. Take heed, because faith comes by hearing and worry comes by hearing. So number two, if you and I want to live in the goodness of the Lord, number one, it's through our confession. And number two, it's through your hearing. You need to hear less of the internet and more of God's word. Less of television and more of God's word. Less of radio and Netflix and more of God's word. If I really want to live in the goodness of the Lord, if I really, and I believe we do at Church on the Rock, if I want to live in God's best, God's abundance, his loving kindness, his favor, and total prosperity, then I'm going to have to change the way I talk. It can't be occasional. It's got to be a habit. I got to change what I'm hearing, who I'm running with, who I'm listening to, what I'm focusing on. If I'm going to taste for myself, if I'm going to hear it, if I'm going to experience it for myself, I've got to start hearing it for myself. Am I connecting with anybody today? Come on, give the Lord a good praise if you got a hold of that. I've never taught that at Church on the Rock. All right, Psalm 23, let's look at verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. Glory to God. I'm excited about this series. This is going to be the best series we've ever had at Church on the Rock. And if you're being blessed, if you're being edified, then go tell somebody this week. And encourage them to come back with you next weekend. Look what he says here in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, only. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? Only. Surely, or only, what family? Wow, living in the goodness of the Lord. You know what this verse is saying? Goodness of the Lord is pursuing you all the days of your life. Worry can't change your past, or can you control your future with it? It just cancels out today. What is chasing you down is God's goodness. The blessings of the Lord are trying to chase us down. Doesn't Deuteronomy 28 says, if we'll obey God, the blessing of the Lord will chase you down, overtake you. So what do I need to do? I need to adjust. I need to examine. I need to take inventory. I need to look at, what am I saying every day? I need to look at, what am I hearing every day? Not once in a while, but every day. Because only what I do, I go to church twice a month, not enough. I read the Bible twice a month, not enough. I say a good confession once in a while, not enough. If I want all the good things God has in store for me that are pursuing me to overtake me. Because what I do occasionally produces the temporary. What I do consistently produces things that last. Oh, I'm excited for you and me this month. Amen. So he said, surely only goodness, God's unfailing love, will follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. It means pursuing me. The goodness of the Lord is pursuing us. As Pastor Kim said, God wants to bless you. The last half of this year should be the best of the year for you. She talked about, and I claim that, double doors, two doors, opportunities. They're pursuing us. They're chasing us down. Now, you understand that, right? We don't chase them. They chase us. You know, we don't chase signs. Signs follow you. We're not just blessing-mindedness for selfish reasons. We're following the Lord. As we're obeying Him, His goodness, His best, His best, His best, His abundance, His favor, His prosperity is pursuing you, wanting to overtake you. But it starts with your confession, and then it goes to your hearing, because you're only going to taste God's best as you change what you're hearing, because you taste the goodness of the Lord through your hearing. Just like you taste natural things with your mouth. You got to start hearing the promises of God on a regular basis. So that when bad news comes, it doesn't move you. When it takes a little longer, you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, you rejoice. Amen? So he says, surely goodness will pursue me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence, that's His anointing, shall be my dwelling place. Now, can I give you number three today? I told you I'd give you three keys. Number three, Psalm 34, verse 9, Message translation. Psalm 34, verse 9, as the praise team comes out. Psalm 34, verse 9. Let's all read it together on three. One, two, three. Folks, that's Bible. You're hearing Bible. That's not Wall Street Journal. That's not, you know, the newspaper. That's not Time Magazine. That's not, you know, it's not any of that. This is Bible. This is not secular. And look what the Lord says. So number three is worship. You can't worry and worship at the same time. You can't worry and have God's best. You and I can't worry and have an abundant life. I can't worry and have His favor in our life. It's unnatural for you and I to worry. We weren't built to worry. It's non-productive. It's unnatural. And so look what he says. Worship God if you want the best. What's that? The goodness of the Lord. Worship, Pastor Kim talked about doors. Worship, what will it do for you this week? Because you're here today and you're worshiping the Lord on the Lord's day, what should happen? What should you be expecting? The goodness of the Lord pursuing you this week. What should you be looking for? Open doors, opportunities, new relationships, greater revelation, fresh ideas, answers to your questions, breakthroughs. Because he said, worship opens doors to some of His goodness, a little bit of His goodness, a partial of His goodness, all of God's goodness. So, Dr. Blunt, again, you're going to have to, here's your prescription to overcome worry, unbelief, doubt, and stress. Here's how you overcome worry. You refocus, you reframe, you change channels, you stop looking at what's bothering you, and you start focusing on the goodness of the Lord. How do you do that? Through your confession. Number two, through your hearing. And number three, through worshiping God throughout the day.